Let in the light. That's our theme for this Advent season, the season of expectation. So let's just take a moment and pray to the Lord. Dear Lord, as we open your word and open our hearts to you, help us to be ready for whatever you have to say to us that we need to hear deep within our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's where we're focusing today. Last Sunday, we looked at the heart and hope and how we are loved by God. We're looking at our souls and peace and the connection there between our innermost who we are and the peace that we could or could not have. And about 2 months ago, October 1st, I went back and looked. I talked about how we should coexist. We should live at peace with everybody, as far as it depends on us. Live at peace with all. And how to do that, we need to have peace within ourselves. And to do that, we need to have peace with God. We need to have our souls anchored to the rock of the universe. And that's when we can start to have peace. But there are more aspects to it. What does that mean? How do we get that anchor? How do we live that out in our day-to-day life of knowing who we are and whose we are? And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And then start by reading from Galatians. Galatians, starting at the end of chapter 3, and then I'm going to do the first part of chapter 4. So this is a letter written to a church in a city, and Paul's saying, hey, here's some ways to understand your faith. Here's some ways to grow in your faith. Here's some ways to understand who you are and how this works. So we're going to look at Galatians 3, starting in verse 26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We could just do full stop right there. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That is Christianity. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, being put, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. I just want to pause right there for a second. This idea of children of Abraham and promise of Abraham. Now, if you were Jewish, that made a lot of sense. Of, oh, well, we're heirs of Abraham. But Paul was writing to, it says, in Christ, you're no longer Jew or Gentile. He's writing more to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles in this case. And I think he wrote this, oh, your heirs, you know, Abraham's promise, and he's like, they're not going to get this. So he continues in chapter 4, and he starts, think of it this way, with things they know. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. That's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let in God's light. That's what we're looking at. That's what this passage is about. Of letting in God's light. How when we hear the truths, when we know the truths, we can have peace within our soul. Now Jesus said a lot of things about our soul, and about peace, and about rest. And a couple things came to mind for me when I was looking at this. And one is Jesus saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So that's one promise. Come to me, take off your burden, take on what I want you to be and do, and I will give you rest for your souls. And Jesus also said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you like the world gives. Mine is going to last. Rest for your souls, peace for your life. But do we live in that all the time? Do you feel that all the time? I know I don't. And part of it is, as I talked about last week, we put up these shutters. Shutters, and they're lies that we believe. Lies that keep out the light. Lies that keep our heart and our soul and our mind from really receiving the truth and having the hope and the peace and the joy that God desires for us. So, again, just reviewing last week. We've got lies that do this. Well, what do we need to do? We need to identify the lies and know and believe the truth. It's not enough to say, oh, that's a lie. It's not enough to say, here's the truth, but to really believe it, allow it to be part of our lives, of how we think about things, how we move through life, to rely on the truth. So last week, it was the idea of God loving us. God loves you. Unconditionally, God loves you personally. God loves you because that's who God is. But what are the lies that rob your soul of peace? That are these shutters that darken your soul? What are lies of well, I'm not smart enough. I'm not nice enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not whatever enough. That's one of those lies that we can have. Or we can also think, hey, I am enough. I'm more than enough. I don't even need God. And we get this pride of, hey, I've got it all together. And that can darken our souls. And maybe it's the idea that just what I am just isn't right. I should be this. I should be that. I am not enough. I'm too rational. I'm too emotional. I'm too intellectual. I'm too free-spirited. I'm too undisciplined. I'm too tall. I'm too short. Whatever it is, all these lies that we can believe about who we are can rob us of our peace. So I want to break this down into just two fundamental lies here, because we could pull apart all these. Two fundamental lies. Lies that we believe about us. One is, I am only a physical body. That's one of the things, you know, if you're writing your sermon notes, I am only a physical body. And then the second one is, my worth is based on what I do. So let's just take a moment, think about these two basic lies. Now the first one, if you're sitting here in worship, coming out on a snowy day, you probably don't mentally say, I'm only a physical body. You believe there is a spiritual aspect to you. But while we know it up here, sometimes we don't know it here. And we start thinking that, well, this life is what truly matters. This is what I need to protect. This is what I need to nurture. This is what I need to build up, save for, and provide for, is just simply this physical life. But if all that matters is this physical life, you will never find peace. Because you will never have enough. You will never be enough. You will never get it all together enough. If it's all about this physical body, and it's fragile, because we know that these bodies don't last forever. These bodies break down, have problems. And so if it's just this physical body, there is no peace. Again, I don't think probably any of you would say, I'm just a physical body, that's all there is. But sometimes we live like it, forgetting that we are eternal part is spiritual. It's a soul. So I want to spend more time on this idea that my worth is based on what I do. What is your worth and your value based upon? Hey, okay, let's put up the next slide. Next question. Okay, who are you? If you're at a party, if you're at a gathering, you're a social event, you're meeting somebody, and if somebody threw out that question, who are you? How would you answer that? You know, I know for myself, I'd start with, you know, a little bit of what I do. You know, I'm a dad, I've got three boys, I'm a pastor. You know, I talk about my profession. That's typically where we're operating. Who are you? I am what I do. And that is a tricky thing. But really, who am I? I'm a Chuck and Sally Joe's son. I'm my parents' child. At its core level, that's who I am. We don't even think about that. We're so fractured as families that's not how we think. But that's how most cultures and traditions have framed it. Who are you? I'm my parents' child. And that gives the starting foundation for our identity. And you know, I'm a human, okay. But then, who am I? I am a spiritual being created in the image of God. Wow, there's something of who am I. And how about this statement? Let's put it up there. I am body, soul, and spirit adopted as a beloved child of God. Who are you? This could be you. This is what God wants you to be identified as. To know this. To rely on this. Adopted as a beloved child of God. But so many people are going through this life as an orphan. Of saying, I don't know where I came from. I'm just like this orphan in Uganda who doesn't know my parents. They died before I was really aware of anything. And I'm just lost. I'm just drifting. Who am I? Yeah, I have a soul, but where did I come from? It's a soul that's not rooted. A soul without a foundation, without a history. And if that is the starting point of I'm just this being out here with no anchor, then everything you are is based on what you do. You have to create your identity. And that is exhausting and not peaceful. And you have to create it. You are creating it, so therefore it's very fragile because we know we don't last. So that's one place people can be, is an orphan of not knowing who they are in that deepest sense. But then there's the next step, and I think this is, again, probably where more of us live, is the idea of being a slave. A slave. Okay, yeah, I am not an orphan, but I'm under this master. What did it say? Those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Living as somebody who's just under this authority. A fear of judgment from the master and wondering if you've done enough right things. That's what a slave is. A slave is saying, okay, well, I don't want to get in trouble. I want to get in trouble. Oh, well, maybe I'll earn some favor. I'm going to earn some favor. And just trying to keep that master happy. Living as a slave. And that's not peace if you're always wondering when you're going to get in trouble and if you've done enough good. That's not peace for your soul. That's the life of a slave. Orphans and slaves, the identity is built around what you do. So what are the truths that destroy this? The truths, who are you? Biblically, who are you? You are more than physical. That is a starting point. You are more than just a body. You are body, spirit, and soul. You are created in the image of God. In Genesis it says, He made male and female and He created them in His image. That you are an image bearer of God. You are creative. You have free will. You have these attributes of God. You're set apart from the animals. You are in the image of God. And finally, you can be an adopted child. Every person on the planet is in the image of God, but only those who come through Christ are adopted as children in Christ. You are an orphan spiritually, but you are bought with a price and adopted as a child. What did it say? Let's look at this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So there's this idea of, okay, you were a slave and you were bought with the blood of Christ. And so there's this buying of ownership. God paid for you. He bought you. And then you could be a slave, but no, it doesn't go to slave of fearing punishment and trying to do enough good. It goes to adopted as his very own children. That's the picture that is in the Bible. Adopted as children. In this Christmas season, I think it's good to put it this way. You are made a child of God by the child who was God. But that's how you become a child of God, is through God coming as a child, born and laid in a manger. That's a profound thought. All right, I want to just diverge a little bit for the next thing. Is who here is a grandparent? All right, yeah, good. All right. What are you called as grandparents? Grandpa and grandma. All right. How you got it? Grandpa and grandma. Grandpa and grandmas. Anybody got any fun nicknames you want to share? Any Mimi's and Papa's or anything? Mima. All right. Yeah, back there. Papa. All right. Anything fun here? Nani. All right. We got Nani. We got Guiqua. I know that one. And we don't even know where Guiqua came from. You know, there are these terms that we use. Does anybody go by grandfather? Does anybody go by grandmother? No, those are very formal terms. And you know who you're talking about when you use those formal terms. But that's not what the kids call you. They call you grandpa, grandma, or Jima, or Guiqua, or Mimi, or Mama, or whatever. And it's saying, no, this is the heart speaking. This is the soul. We are family. We are connected. And I bring this up because that's where this goes to. It goes, okay, not just up here, grandfather, grandmother, intellectual, my mind. Yes, you know, in the Reformed tradition, we like to stay up here in the thought process. But when we get to God in the heart, the language changes. And what did it say in this passage? And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba, that's daddy. That's daddy. That's all these fun soul-connecting names. Abba, daddy, father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. You get the full inheritance. You get the full blessing. So don't live as a slave. You are God's child in Christ. God loves you personally. God loves you unconditionally. And God loves you because you are his child. This is the identity. We need to get out of the head and into the soul. God's spirit with our spirit saying, we are his children. Next week, we are going to get back into the head and think about how we think can rob us of joy. And last week, we talked about the heart of that we need to know that heart is love. But with this, our soul says, I know who I am in Christ. Live in the light and find that peace. You are enough with God. You will never be enough without God. You will always be more because of the family that you're connected to in God, as God's child. You were bought with the blood of Christ. You were freed from the bondage of sin and am I enough? That's bondage right there. And you're adopted in love. Now, if I look at the clock and I look at the sermon, that'd be a really great place to stop. And I sometimes get frustrated if I'm hearing a sermon and I hear a good stopping point and the minister just keeps on going. So I'm going to just acknowledge that would be a great stopping point right there. All right, but I'm going to go on for about 5 more minutes because I think it's worth it. I think there's something else we need to hear of this, that we are bought with blood, freed from bondage, adopted in love. But there's something that God wants from you. I just want to share from Ephesians 2, just part of the Reformed tradition, part of what Martin Luther raised up and said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Okay, we're not living as slaves. We're not living in fear. We're not saying, "I'm trying to avoid punishment. I'm trying to earn favor." No, we are adopted children, and that is your identity in Christ. As I said last week, there is nothing for you to do. But I didn't give you the rest of the sentence. To earn God's love. There's nothing for you to do to earn God's love. So you can write that down in your sermon notes if you want. You know, that God's love is God's love because God loves. All right? But we do have to accept this adoption. It's not forced upon us. But once we do, there is much for you to do because you know God's love. As it said in that passage, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works that have been laid out in advance for you to do. There's much to do, not out of fear, not out of earning privilege, but just because we know how much God loves us. So it adds one more layer to that last thing. We were bought with the blood, we were freed from bondage, adopted in love, and then we were to be serving in adoration, saying, "Lord, take me, use me, I am your child, and you've got stuff for me to do in this world." When we find that, we find our identity in Christ, and yeah, that gives us peace. But until we really engage in God's work in this world, we know there's something more. And you're not going to have that peace if you're keeping it all to yourself. If you're not saying, "Hey, how can I help those with less? Hey, how can I encourage those who are hurting and down this season? How can I invite someone to hear the good news of Christ?" Then it's the complete package. And peace comes. We're going to move into a song right now about God knowing us. And when we know that God knows us, when we know we are God's children, when we know we have been bought, we've been freed, and we can adore God with our lives, there's peace for the soul. So please join in the song. You can stay seated, but open your heart up to the Lord as we sing this song together, speaking the truths that get rid of the lies. God knows you and God loves you.